Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economics show entitled Money Matters. Before we begin, please be advised that the views and opinions expressed on this show are those of myself and my guests, and our opinions only, and may not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. This show is not meant as investment advice. Consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions, and do your own research before investing. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing, but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. You can order past shows or comment on our show by sending us an email at mark@moneymanagementradio.com or by visiting our website, moneymanagementradio.com. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show. And welcome to the 208th show of our economic forum, your economic forum entitled Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Today's show, number 208, entitled Kids, Parents, General Electric, McDonald's, The Times They Are Changing. Money Matters is about money. As money does matter, and matters money affect us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, and controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about your lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. And thanks for joining me on your community radio station, wherever you're hearing this broadcast. And today we're going to talk about a whole host of things that have hit the news wires in the markets, of course, whether to get in, get out, some announcements by some of the big corporations around. But first, we go into the Money Matters mailbag today. You can send me an email wherever you're hearing the show at moneymatters@kvmr.org. Now, you may not be hearing the show on KVMR, but that's okay. If you're hearing it on another community radio station, you can still send me an email, and I'll still answer each and every email you send me. You can also write the program director at your local station for comments, suggestions on the show, and they'll contact me. Thank you very much. Money Matters mailbag. I read a few on the air every show. Mark, my friend needs to talk to someone about his money. An immigrant story who has had a number of successful businesses but has a low trust of banks and institutions. Like a lot of newly arrived Americans, he had to rely solely on his wits and hard work. I believe he would respond to your no-nonsense recommendations. Would you meet with him? I don't know if I'm typical in this regard, but I find the field of economics fascinating. So do I. But the thought of managing my own money, brain deadening. I've taken your advice in the past, but I'm too slow to make changes as the market changes and your radio thoughts so reflect. Guess I need to disengage from my current financial advisor, from whom I take little advice. I'd rather eat glass, except for the yearly refresher in seeing you. What a nice email. Thanks for your educational efforts, Mark. I hope I'm not simply guilty of what the psychologist called confirmational bias, which is a nice way of saying one tends to listen to opinions and advice that already reflects one's view of the world. Isn't that sweet? And hi, Mark. I took one of your women in money classes, and I'm on your mailing list. I'm trying to come to your April money class. In the meantime, can you address in a newsletter socially responsible funds? I have about blank amount at TD Ameritrade in a holding IRA. It's been sitting there since the crash. I was too scared to get back into the market. Now I'm too scared not to. Arg, she says. Anyway, my other hang-up is I don't want to invest in any company that makes weapons or kills people with chemicals. I own my own home, but I'm just turning 65. Can't collect until I'm 67 and a half. Will you address this or point me to where you did? Thanks a lot for your educational efforts and for tracking something I don't understand and know how to be smart with. Well, yeah, I have talked about you can let your morals influence your investing. It's your money. So if you don't want to put your money somewhere because of what the company does, I'm all for that. There's certain things I don't buy, certain companies I don't buy. Most of them I do, but there's certain companies that I do not buy. So I sent her this article about green funds, so I'm going to reread it because this was a very hot topic. It still is, especially in our area. This article went out in a variety of publications and on the show and newsletter. You can get the newsletter, by the way. It's our way of saying thank you for you listening to your community radio station wherever you are listening to the show. The newsletter is available worldwide at no cost. You can subscribe at moneymanagementradio.com. And it's our community radio station saying thank you for listening. Newsletter comes out. I don't spam or sell your email addresses. You just get market information and information on any classes or new investments that I deem important or safe for you. Investing in green funds. By yours truly. Environmentally conscious investors are drawn to what we call socially responsible and green funds because they want to put their investing dollars in things that help rather than hurt the environment. They also don't want to throw their dollars at companies that do harm to the planet. Wall Street knows this and has offered up a plethora of socially conscious funds and other securities to capitalize on this sector of investing. There are many of these funds available, but you have to be careful which ones you pick. Many green funds have high sales fees, and you must always ask what they are. They can be very volatile and do not perform well, in my opinion, due to the nature of the industry of green funds. Many startup companies fail, alternative energies, etc., and many new green technologies don't pan out. Alternative energy is still in its growth phase, and with this phase comes many failures. U.S. government invested millions in Solyndra, in one of the most public government boondoggles to date, after pouring a rumored $500 million or so of taxpayer money into this solar company and went broke, taking down all the money with it. So-called green companies can fail at a much higher rate than other companies. Wishful thinking investors and inventors alike may go further out on a limb than others in their quest to improve the planet. And although the goal is a noble one, with the wishes and dreams also come the realities of cost overruns, failed technologies, and the subsequent nightmares of investor losses. Along with high failure rates, we have no way of knowing if the CEO or the VPs of these companies are green themselves. Some could have fleets of gas-guzzling SUVs, multiple cars in their garages, huge McMansions in the Hamptons, and luxurious private jets. The fees and commissions to buy these securities are also not required to go to green brokers. There's no such requirement on Wall Street on who can collect your money. And another thing to consider when investing green, if you wear a gold ring, have a car, or use a variety of other high-tech gadgetry in your life, you have already participated in heavy metal mining, chemical production, and oil drilling. It's just impossible in today's world to avoid contributing to some of the worst environmental polluters on the planet. To help avoid these common problems and issues with green funds, I always tell investors the same thing. You make your money in the best stocks and securities out there, regardless of what the companies do. Then if you want to help the planet, donate a few $1,000s or whatever you can afford to your local green cause in your town and country. In your town or in your county. That way you'll know where your money's going. It won't be going to support some CEO's overbloated salary. You donate it to your local food bank or your local river preservation fund, and they'll be glad to get your donation. A few dollars will usually go a long way in a local endeavor, and you will know that your dollars are actually going to good use, keeping your neighborhood green, your community green, helping your local community or town instead of being sucked into the unknown bowels of Wall Street where who knows what or who your money really supports. I think that's sound advice. So you do what you want with your money, of course. I don't own any green funds. They are very volatile. I think they're kind of a snooker of Wall Street and investment advisors. A lot of green funds have loaded fees. So there you go. Now, there is some good news on the green front that you'd probably be surprised. And I want to cover it. I mean, I think it's extremely important. So listen to this, Californians. If you're not a Californian, listen to this, all you other Stadians, to get your state to do the same thing. California is now the first U.S. state. California is now the first U.S. state to get 5% of its annual utility-scale electricity from the sun. But that's really understating what just happened. U.S. Energy Information Administration just confirmed that in 1 year, big solar here in California jumped from 1.9% to 5% of the state's total power generation. California isn't just producing the most solar electricity of any state. It's producing more than all the other states combined. And isn't that some good news? And that's only counting what the major electricity producers are generating. It doesn't include private rooftop solar, in which California, you guessed it, also leads the nation. In small-scale solar, capacity for another 2.3 gigawatts has been installed, according to the California Public Utilities Commission. Renewable energy, including hydropower and rooftop solar, now constitute about a third of California's electricity, a remarkable feat accomplished through renewable requirements for utilities and the incentives provided to us homeowners. But even those statements don't really tell you the true story, California's recent gain in renewable energy. Because even as solar has bloomed, hydroelectric power has been slashed by more than half by what has been called our worst drought in 1,200 years. So even though we're increasing in solar power and making leaps on generating more alternative energy power, our water power has gone down because of the problems we have with our water tables. So such good news here. If we had a regular rainfall and we had our water tables up, we'd even be producing more power. It's good news that more and more Americans are leaning into the power of the sun to supply our energy needs, and California is leading the way. As the cost of solar systems continue to decrease, as manufacturing techniques improve, the inroads to solar will only grow larger. And isn't that some good news for a change? I have information on how you can obtain a no-cost solar system. I'll pass that information on to you if you like. So who would have guessed it? Well, California, you know, we're kind of green out here. And another Money Matters mailbag here. I live in North Seattle, Washington, Shoreline, Richmond Beach. However, my house may be sold today. I'm moving to the peninsula across the water in Puget Sound. I hear that Nevada City is a great place to live. I have a friend there. I doubt you know him. Blank, blank. Actually, I'd heard the name, but I don't know him. Keep up your great radio productions. Your voice has become the voice of a friend. Christina. Thank you, Christine. The problem with CDs nowadays, you don't get any money. But we don't own a CD to get money. We owe it for safety. Okay, remember, you have to be clear while you own an asset. And we own a CD for safety. When I was a small child and had money in the bank, I was paid 6% interest, and my father used to tell me, put your money in the bank for 6% interest. Now, we don't put money in the bank anymore for interest, do we? Why do we do it? We put it in the bank for safety. Problem with a CD is there's no upside potential, so you're locked in. You buy a 5-year CD and you're locked in with hardly any interest. So this is a great way to stick away money in case the economy goes in the you-know-whatter again. So I do like CDs where there's no risk to your principal, insured by the government. So if you're interested, you must act. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station, and we will be right back. tuned to Money Matters on your community radio station. Thanks for joining me today, show number 208. Unbelievable that we've done 208 shows. There's been over close to 700 newscasts put out and literally hundreds and hundreds of newsletters. And as long as you're listening into it live or pre-recorded on your community station, community radio station and the newsletter, it's all au gratis, as all community radio stations are. Of course, you can support your community radio station by having your business or event read during the broadcast day. Contact underwriting at your local station for that and support your station. It's important that we're here. I also get a lot of questions on how to involve children in investing, and it usually is two-pronged. One is, what should I buy for my child so for a long-term investment? And the other one is, how can I get my child involved in investing? Well, the first one, what you buy your child, there are a variety of college saving plans available through a variety of states. And you can check your internet browser under the college 529 plans. The money you put into these plans go under a particular child's name. And they have a variety of investments you can choose. There are small fees for administering this. The money you put in is not tax deductible, but when it grows, the money you take out is not taxed as long as it's used for a child's college education or secondary education. If the child passes, it can be moved on to another child. And the limits are rather high. You can put a lot of money into these things. Now, it's interesting. President Obama did set up, when he came into office, he set up two college plans for his kids. And from what I read, he put in the maximum, $200,000 a piece, spread out over 5 years. And that way he didn't pay any taxes on the money that went in there. So he immediately stacked the plan to the max for his two kids. And then shortly thereafter, he started to go after some of the tax advantages of those plans, saying that, we want to look at these 529s and maybe we're being too generous with allowing people to put so much money in there, which I thought was odd. Somebody would go ahead and utilize the plans and then try to remove the tax advantage from a portion of it. So I didn't know if all you knew that, but that was struck me as strange. Along the political front, Hillary has announced that she's going to run. I think she's probably got a good chance of winning myself. The Republicans are looking at running Jeb Bush, and I feel about Jeb Bush like I feel about Hillary. I think we've had enough of the dynasties. It's my opinion. I think we need somebody new in there. On the Republican side, there are a couple of people throwing their hats in the ring. Marcus Rubio has thrown his hat in there, and I think another governor, I can't remember what his name, I think he's thrown his hat in there. So we'll see. It's liable to get messy. Within about 600 days, we'll have another president. So what do you think about that? Do you think Hillary's got a chance of winning? Do you think Jeb Bush has a chance of winning? I don't think Jeb Bush has a chance of winning, but what do I know? So as far as getting your young ones involved in investing, if you want to invest for your young ones, I believe in just buying what I've been recommending for the last 3 or 4 years. On the subject of McDonald's, they did raise their minimum wages to their employees, as did Target and Walmart. They went from $9 to $9.90, and they'll go over $10 in 2016. What you probably didn't know, though, that McDonald's only raised its wages for the employees that it directly employs. It does not affect their franchised stores. Franchised stores are owned by individual owners. So the minimum wage increase applied by McDonald's is only going to be applicable to about 10% of McDonald's employees. But I think Walmart, Target, McDonald's, and probably soon to follow others did so because they wanted to take some of the heat off the public pressure for them to raise wages before Washington implements a $15 minimum wage. So they didn't want to avoid that. It's cheaper to raise rates from $9 to $9.90 or $10 than raise rates from $9 to $15 if Washington mandates it. So they're all saying, look, let's just go ahead and do this so we get a better public repertoire, public opinion of us, so that Washington doesn't keep pushing for a $15 minimum wage. Now, if you want to get your young ones involved in investing, a good friend of mine gave me a great idea, and I ran with it. And the idea is I believe in starting children in investing as early as possible. Now, I bought my first stock at 14, but I went through some huge, humongous losses in the early years. And even up in recent years, I've had big losses, as we are always still learning. But it's a net sum game, right? It's what you end up with in all your investments, not just in one. But I believe in starting children as early as possible, and that means if they understand what money is and can read numbers, it's time to get them started. A great idea that I was given is to initiate your young one into the world of investing is to set up a stock account and let them trade it. It's usually called an UTMA account, a custodial account. They'll have access to that account at 18 or 21 years old, you pick. It'll be in their name, and you could set it up with as little as, you know, $100. You let the children trade it. Now, I don't mean you let them trade it like a day trader. But you have them select a group of companies that they think are doing well and will do well in the future and that they have interest in. My kids use cell phones, as I'm sure yours do, and they wear trendy clothes and play video games and eat at trendy kid places. So that's likely where they're going to be wanting to place the money you give them. So let's say you give them $1,000 or $100 in their own account. You have to first show them the account and make them realize that this is their money. Everything they make in this account will be theirs eventually to keep. Everything they lose, of course, will be gone. It doesn't have to be much, like I said, $100 to get them on their way. $100 to a kid is like $1,000 to you and I, so. You will have to, of course, monitor the account and make a note that if an investment drops by, let's say, a third or a quarter, you will ask them to make another choice. You don't want to take big losses in this account. But don't try and interject your stock picks. Let them pick the stocks. You have your own stock account for that. Incredibly, kids can make very good stock pickers, as they're the first to know what's in, what's new, and what's frowned upon in their circles. And it's their peers that drive many of the companies they select, especially some of these. They often know what is falling out of favor and what is becoming the newest fad. Way before Wall Street sees the final numbers when companies post the results, the kids know way ahead of time. My 14-year-old is the first up among my three kids and has made his first selections last week. If he does well, even I, a seasoned analyst and stock picker, might follow his advice, and won't that be an odd turn of events? You can bet if he picks some big winners, I will look at his selections, but I won't ever let you know that. So we'll see how he does. I will let you know his gains and et cetera, over the next few months or years. By setting up and letting a child stock account run according to your kid's whims and fashions, they will become interested in the world of investing at an early age, and that bodes well for their future when they play with real money of their own. I logged into the website for him and sat him down on the computer, and I let him make the buys. I showed him the screen, and he walked him through it. It's pretty easy to buy stock on a brokerage firm screen. If you bought something with a credit card, that's a lot harder than buying a stock on a screen. So he went ahead and bought those, and now he's got a third and a third and a third. Apple, Nike, and Activision. So I'm kind of curious how he's going to do. So on the real estate front, I did pick up another version of our local newspaper in our city here that comes out once a month. And they have a author in there. I guess you can call him an author. He writes on the real estate in our local county every month. And seems to always write the same thing. That real estate is picking up, and if you want to sell real estate, give him a call. I used to write for this paper, but they stopped carrying me. I think my stuff was a little hot for them, and they wanted more benign, what I call pablum. Pablum is, you know, the any of you out there old enough to remember pablum? It was a mush that we fed to babies when I ate when I was a baby. It's kind of bland. A lot of newspapers are like that. A lot of newspapers won't carry me because I'm a little hot for them, a little opinionated. Some other newspapers rein me in. They'll kick back an article and they'll say, no, that's a little hot or too opinionated. So most magazines don't want to argue with anybody. I think most media is like politicians. They want to please both sides of the aisle. There are some right-wing rags out there that carry my stuff and some liberal papers that do as well. So I have to be careful what I send to each. But anyway, so on the real estate front, we're talking about my real estate author here. They have him in the business section. He's a realtor. But on the true fact of the matter, sales of previously owned homes fell short in February of the $5 million annual rate. That was the second month it fell short. Closings, which usually take a month or two after the contract is signed, rose 1.2% to 4.88 million annual rate. The National Association of Realtors reported last week in Washington. Median value of a house climbed 7.5% from the same month last year, while the number of properties on the market was a little bit unchanged. You know, they say that the real estate market is tight and that the supply is low. Everywhere I drive, I see for sale signs. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me. They say, well, the only thing out there for sale is junk. Well, a lot of the stuff I've seen with sale signs on there is not junk. Maybe they're high priced. I don't know. There still seem to be a lot of for sale signs out there. One thing there is a lot of for sale signs out there is on property. Just plain lots, undeveloped lots. There are a lot of lots for sale, and that's what I bought up in the last couple of years is lots. I like to buy when there's blood in the streets. And so I bought a couple of lots. Not any old lot. That would be a commodity item, something you could compare to. I bought exclusive lots, one of a kind. So, and across the pond over in Europe, Greece secured an emergency funding available to its banks again, as Greek Finance Minister Yanni Varoufakis said he's confident of reaching an aid agreement with European partners this month. I want to tell you again, Greece will never pay its bills. But Greece has the European Central Bank over the coals. They don't want Greece to pull out. Because if Greece pulls out because it can't pay its debts, then Italy and France and others will start to pull out. And that will weaken the euro. So Greece knows that they could pretty much get anything they want or they'll pull out of the euro. And the European Central Bank doesn't want that. So, we got another deadline, I think, coming up March 24th. Greece is going to have to make another payment. And so we're going to see the circus of the absurd between the European Central Bank and the Greece debt. Meanwhile, the European Central Bank's governing council blinked again. And it raised the cap on the Emergency Liquidity Assistance Fund. And it gave the Bank of Greece 1.2 billion more euros. In other words, it said, okay, we'll give you a little bit more. Couldn't reach an agreement. We'll give you a little bit more. That was more than the 700 million euro increase granted the week before. European Central Bank spokesman's this declined to comment. So there you go. So we have time for a few phone calls, if you like, 530-265-9555, if you're listening to the show live Thursday, noon Pacific time. If you're listening to it recorded at another date, you can't call in. And we can take some investor questions, 530-265-9555, if I have some time. And so the markets, oil has rebounded some, and gold has rebounded some. Those are now rebounding. I don't know if they're both going to stick on the rebound. The Dow is once again over 18,000. And people are asking me whether it's going to go down or go up. So we will have to see. And let's see if we can take a phone call. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're live on the air. Can I help you?
Oh, my name's Derek.
Hey, Derek.
2 years ago, I bought the market advice when they were pegged to agriculture and metals. I just wonder, in the world of it, what do you think about today?
Agricultural and metals, where do I think they're going to go?
Now, the markets face CDs that retire those.
Oh, well, so far they probably haven't gone anywhere, but I think that CD doesn't mature for a few years, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so it's they take a reading every 6 months, so it's hard to tell. But agricultural and commodities have sure gone in the opposite direction, haven't they?
So I think they have. I just wondered what you thought about the long picture of that. Thank you.
Well, I'll take it to finish the rest of the call. But I think the long picture on those is going to be up. But they did take a tremendous dive. Now, on those particular market-safe CDs, you can't lose any money. So you're not really sacrificing much in interest. If you put in $1,000 and they pay 2% on a 5-year CD, you're going to miss out on $100 of interest. You're just going to get your money back. So $100 is not, really much. So you do have potential to make more money in those market safe CDs. So I'm a big fan of just giving up the $100 in guaranteed interest on a regular 5-year CD and going for broke and seeing if I can get 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever percent. I have a market safe gold CD that's an 8-year CD, and it's like 5 years into it. So I'm kind of curious what that will return when it comes due. So, these market safe CDs, I do like them for people that have money that they can tie up for 5 years in this particular CD. And they close that CD in about 3 weeks. So you'll have to send me an email on that. And I can forward the information to you. So the markets are once again over 18,000. The Dow, I read today that the majority of investors are still not invested in the stock market. And we have an election year coming up, so I still think the green light is on for stocks. Although there are a few indicators that make me nervous. The volatility index, how scared people are, is at all-time lows. That's not a good sign. That could be an indicator. And margin debt, how much people borrow to buy stocks, is very, very high. And that could be an indicator. But right now, and the Federal Reserve, of course, is threatening to raise rates. I don't think they will. If they raise rates, it'll be 0.25%. But the dollar is so strong right now, it's hurting our big corporations. When the dollar is strong, big corporations cannot sell as much overseas, and they're complaining, so they're going to have to talk down the dollar. And so if they raise interest rates, it'll talk up the dollar. So I'm in the camp that the Feds will talk about raising rates, but will not do it. And the Feds actually said they were going to raise rates in April, and then they kind of backed up, and then they said June, and now they kind of backed up. So I know a lot of analysts are not saying they're not going to raise rates till 2016. So if they do raise rates, it's going to be 0.25%. It's not going to mean anything, but it will sure scare the heck out of the stock market. And we are coming into sell in May, go away, which is the old adage. When in May comes, sell all your stocks and don't buy back till November, because summer and fall can be brutal, historically. So we're not quite there yet. It's only April. Supposed to be 90 degrees down in Sacramento this weekend. Go figure that. How's that going to be for the drought, eh? And so I think that, as I've been putting out in the last probably 4 months, the green light is on with an orange tint. It was all green, but in the last 3 or 4 months, I said that it's taken on an orange tint, and it did fall a few times. It's been bouncing up and down through 18,000. Oil has recovered some. So that has helped the stock market, oddly enough. Prices at the gas pumps will probably start to rise a little bit coming into the driving season. I'm not saying they will continue to go up, but you did see some nice gains over the last year, month or so. Ditto with gold and silver. That's recovered a little bit. It's bouncing around $1,200 an ounce. Gold is. Don't know whether that's going to stick or not. My lowest prognostication for gold would be around $900. And don't know if it'll get there, but we don't know if all green is on for gold. I would say that you can add slowly over time, but I'm not giving you an all green there. So you have been listening to show number 208, which has been entitled Kids, Parents, General Electric, McDonald's, The Times They Are A-Changin'. And this has been my pleasure to bring you the show today. And if you'd like to get copies of the show or comment on the show, you can send me an email at moneymatters@kvmr.org. You're listening to your community radio station, and we'll be right back to wrap up the show in just a second. This has been another edition of Money Matters. Please be advised that the views and opinions expressed on this show are those of myself and my guests, and are opinions only, and may not represent those of this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. This show is not meant as investment advice. Consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions, and do your own research before investing. The information given on the show was obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing, but is not guaranteed. This show was pre-recorded at an earlier date, so the market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at the time of airing. You can order past shows or comment on our show by sending me an email at mark@moneymanagementradio.com. Money Matters is produced and recorded at the studios of KVMR FM 89.5 in Nevada City, California. You can visit our website at moneymanagementradio.com. Thanks for listening.